Grace, greetings, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for the 6th of August. I'm Paul White. Good to have you with me as we continue our month of August look at new covenant principles in Old Testament stories. There's no rhyme or reason to the chronology of this. We're not moving left to right. We're not doing Pentateuch, then prophets, Psalms. No, it's just whatever. It's where I am in reading. It's what crossed my mind the day before from an Old Testament story. It's musings I've had over the years or wrestlings with Old Testament stories and how the revelation of the finished work of Jesus and the grace of God, the love of our Father, the power and the endless power of this new covenant, how all of that information has transformed how I interpret Old Testament scriptures. And I thought it would be fun to take a month or so and share some of those with you just to give you an idea of maybe some ways of seeing Old Testament stories that you haven't seen before, but not assuming that you haven't made connections or seen the New Covenant principles through these Old Testament stories, but perhaps to give you some help. It struck me not too long ago, actually, this is something that has been in my mind for a while, but I've really seen it manifest, it seems like, not too long ago, going into churches and ministering, and I would try to bring analogies from Old Testament stories, use the New Covenant lens, and I was shocked to find how many people in the church didn't know those stories. Some of that's a product of we're going to have a generation of believers who didn't go through sort of the traditional Sunday school approach, and therefore they lost some of those Old Testament scriptures, some of those Old Testament stories, the ones that used to be a part of our Sunday school curriculum. I was raised in Sunday school, and I heard all of the major highlight Old Testament stories. And then I became a student of the Word, and I was infatuated with those stories, and I read the Old Testament. But you got a lot of stories. And so some of the time, I'm going to be telling you stuff you've never even heard. So I'm always going to give you at least a text reference. And what I would encourage you to do is to go investigate some of those stories. Today's story comes from 2 Kings chapter 13. Now, the end of 1 Kings tells you the story of a prophet named Elijah. And before that book ends, before it goes off the scene, he introduces a young mentee, a young man named Elisha. Elijah and Elisha are two different characters in the Old Testament. I'm not trying to teach in an insulting fashion. There's a lot of you that know all of this stuff. I just want to make sure that we have the basics. Because the Elijah-Elisha one is one that I've seen people be pretty confused about. Elijah is taken away into heaven in a chariot of fire. Elisha is left to sort of carry on that work of being the prophet in a time in which the monarch, Ahab, and his wife Jezebel are quite wicked. So the sort of the stopgap between some very bad things happening to Israel and Judah on the hand of God seems to be the prophetic ministries of Elijah and Elisha. Elisha asks for a double portion. Elijah says that's going to be hard, but see me go, you'll get it. So Elisha receives the double portion blessing. And there's been a lot of scholarship done on the fact that Elijah raised someone from the dead, and that Elisha with the double portion blessing also raised someone from the dead, but that they both died having raised one person from the dead. And as a true double portion, shouldn't Elisha have raised two? Which brings us to the very fascinating moment after the death of Elisha, who dies in the middle of chapter 13. Listen to the 20 and 21st verse of 2 Kings chapter 13. Then Elisha died and they buried him, and the raiding bands from Moab invaded the land in the spring of the year. So it was as they were burying a man that suddenly they spied a band of raiders, and they put the man in the tomb of Elisha. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood on his feet. And that instance in the Bible in which a soldier dies, his comrades put him temporarily, they put him into the tomb. This would have been a sculpted out cave, into the tomb of Elisha so that they could find a place to bury him. When his body touches the bones of the prophet, he jumps up on his feet and lives. Much has been said about the fact that now Elisha has his second resurrection, his second miracle of resurrection, therefore doubling the amount of people that Elijah saw raised from the dead. But a new covenant look at this would be, to me, is this. The New Testament presents John the Baptist as Elijah reincarnate. I don't mean literally reincarnated, but the spirit of who Elijah was alive and well in John the Baptist. That spirit was to die with John the Baptist, because John the Baptist was the last of an old guard. What comes after Elijah is Elisha. The double portion anointing doesn't rest on John the Baptist, it rests on Jesus. Jesus says in Matthew that if you are able to receive it, John the Baptist was Elijah who was to come in the day of the Lord. That means that Elijah is the arrival of that, or John the Baptist is the arrival of that prophetic end time Elijah, the end of that Mosaic economy. That would make Jesus a new Elisha. It would make Jesus that which is double portioned, that which is more anointed. Jesus dies on the cross so that we can resurrect as a brand new man. Elisha dies, is put into a tomb, and when a dead man touches his bones, life comes out, life comes back into that dead man. So think of it this way. In Elisha's death was life for someone else. There is life in Elisha's death. Jesus' death is life for someone else. When the soldier's dead body touched the bones of Elisha, he was made alive. When you and I touch the cross of Christ, we are made alive. When a part of who we are meets our death in Him, a new man raises on the earth. There's something powerful about that new man and his being raised on the earth. I was wrestling this morning with a thought. What would, for me, I can get along with anybody. I can get along with almost any opinion, no matter how stark to the left politically or stark right to the politically. I like to think there's something to learn. I don't get a lot out of either of that, by the way. I don't really like the hanging out too much there, but I like to think there's something to learn. So I was kind of wrestling with what ideology would it be that I would struggle to get along with. Well, of course, covenant breaking to me, I don't have a lot of use for adulterers or murderers or and people who embrace it. Yeah, that's what I am. Who has room for that? No. So practically, no, none of us going to get along with that. I was thinking ideologically, like what would cause me to ideologically struggle with someone in the faith? And for me, the line is resurrection. The resurrection of our Lord Jesus. I want to leave that there today because I think that's a great kickoff spot for a podcast tomorrow. I want to talk about that in relation to the fact that Elisha raised and therefore Jesus raised. And what does that mean for us? Because resurrection to me is the dividing line. I'll tell you what I mean tomorrow. See you then. God bless.